I don't know if you've ever driven from Wisconsin to Mount Rushmore. Now, if you've ever made that drive, it's a nice long drive, and when you take I-90 through Minnesota and then through South Dakota, you see something. One of the things you see is wall drug signs. Remember them? Like that? Or like that? Or like that? Or how about that? I mean, they're everywhere. We must have seen 100 signs from Wisconsin going to there. Now, the wall drug signs are kind of interesting because at first, they're amusing. Later, they become intriguing. And finally, they become an irresistible force that tells you that when you get to that exit by Wall, North Dakota, where you go north into Wall, you are missing something if you don't take that exit. One of the things Sandy said she remembered was that it was advertising a dinosaur. Well, there's the dinosaur. Question. Does the sign actually tell you what you're going to see? But when you actually see it, you know that's what the sign was talking about. So the sign is not like the experience, but the sign points you to the experience. Sometime back, years and years ago, I was at a campground, actually one outside of Burlington. I knew the owners, and I was in their store for a moment, and they shouted to me. They said, "Jeff, help this man. His child is choking. They need to get the child to the hospital. Would you help direct them?" I said, "Yes." I jumped in the car. We raced off to Burlington Hospital. And as we got into town in Burlington, he saw the blue and white H of the hospital sign and really didn't need my help anymore. But the sign was not like the hospital. The sign could not help that child. It's what the sign pointed to. Signs do not give you the experience. They only point you to this. Now, you know this already. But let me ask you a question. Once we visited the hospital, how valuable were the signs? Not terribly valuable after we had been there. How much of an attraction were the signs to Wall Drug after we visited it? It didn't attract us at all because we'd had the actual experience. When God wanted to communicate to His people, He posted signs. Earlier, Shannon read from Leviticus chapter 16 about a day known in our English as the Day of Atonement, known in Hebrew as Yom Kippur. It was this one day when the high priest and the high priest alone could go behind the veil of the temple where the very presence of God was and be with God on a face-to-face basis. The awesomeness of that face-to-faceness was gripping. And he was told that if he did it wrong, he would die. As you may know, the high priest's robe that Shannon described or said that he had to wear had bells on it. It had a little gold pomegranate, then a gold bell, and then a gold pomegranate all the way around the hem. So when the bells were ringing, what was going on? The priest was in there moving around doing his stuff, right? What if the bells stopped ringing? It means we've got trouble right here in River City, right? It means, uh-oh, something's wrong. It's kind of like what you parents have experienced when your children are playing and all of a sudden they're very, very quiet. if it got quiet during the Day of Atonement, there was trouble. Now, Jesus has been described in the book of Hebrews as our high priest. What we never got to see is what he did as high priest. We never got to see him go behind the veil, but he did. Hebrews describes it. Hebrews chapter 9, beginning at the 24th verse. For the Messiah did not enter a sanctuary made with hands. And the sanctuary made with hands was only a model of the true one. But he went into the sanctuary, into heaven itself, so that he might now appear in the presence of God for us. He did not do this to offer himself many times as the high priest enters the sanctuary yearly with the blood of another, bringing in the blood of one of those goats. Otherwise, Jesus would have had to suffer many times since the foundation of the world. But now he has appeared one time at the end of the ages for the removal of sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for people to die once, and after this judgment, so also the Messiah, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, you have given signs of what you have accomplished in Christ and signs of what you are still going to do in him. Open our eyes to your signs in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's this great and awesome experience of the Day of Atonement, the one time every year when the high priest would bring atonement. Now that word atonement may be a big word for you, but you can chop it up. At-one-ment, where man and God are separated by sin, and God says, on this day, I want to bring you back together. God is always in the business of bringing his family back to him. And this priest would go into the very presence of God. What an awesome thing to offer that one annual sacrifice. And this annual sacrifice pointed, was a sign to the greater event. The greater event being when the Messiah himself, as prophet, priest, and king, all wrapped up in one glorious package, would go behind the veil, not of some earthly sanctuary, not of Solomon's glorious temple, not of Herod's even more imposing temple, but a temple in heaven itself, and would appear before God on your behalf and mine. Now here's the point. The Day of Atonement had a purpose. Its purpose was to be a sign that as people walked through their lives, this sign would be seen again and again and again and again, just like the wall drug signs, and ultimately was intended to be an irresistible force drawing them to the Messiah. The funny thing is, and I am currently reading Chronicles, I'm reading also some of the post-exilic books, I read nothing of a Day of Atonement celebration. Anyone want to correct me on that? I mean, it may have happened and not been recorded, but it looks like it got forgotten. And maybe because it got forgotten, they missed the whole point. The point was to draw people to the Messiah who would do this one time for all and be done with it. That he would bring an end to those sacrifices. God established a temple on earth, a tabernacle tent first, an imposing temple later, a less imposing temple after that, and then a great one built by Herod, but that was destroyed. Why? Why did God let that temple be destroyed? Because its purpose had been fulfilled. Because Jesus finished the work the temple was supposed to do. The temple was a sign. And what's the value of the hospital sign after you've been to the hospital? Not very valuable. What's the value of the temple after the sign has been fulfilled? Has God then given up on the temple? Absolutely not. Why? Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit whom you have from God? Has God given up on temples? Absolutely not. Every one of you is one. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. We have arrived in the presence of God. Hebrews 4:16, back when we were studying that. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace, the very presence of God, with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us at the proper time. In my Sunday school class, we talked about two different words, courageous and fearless. Courageous and fearless. If you're fearless, that's no virtue. But courageous means you're scared to death and you go on anyway. How do we approach the throne of grace? With courage or without fear? We approach actually with boldness. No fear. Confident. This is the God we know. This is my Father. And I can approach Him with the confidence that I have because not because of who I am, but because of what I've done, but because of what Jesus has done. I can approach that throne of grace with confidence. Now, here's where this is all leading to. Here's where this is all going. Don't miss it. Told you what happened. The high priest would go into the holy place. No one else could enter. And then he would enter the holiest place, sometimes called the Holy of Holies, right? And they would listen. Listen for the bells. Listen for the movement. Listen for any sound. Because any sound that came out of that place was coming from the priest. So they would listen. And what was the great moment? When the priest would come out. When he would come out and say, I have done what the Lord has commanded. I have provided atonement for the people of Israel. The Lord bless you and keep you and make His face shine on you. Right? That's the great moment. What has happened now for you and for me? Jesus Christ has died and He rose from the dead. His sacrifice was made. He rose from the dead, which means His sacrifice was accepted. And then what did He do? The Bible tells us that He ascended into heaven, went to the right hand of God, but then He walked behind the veil of the temple that is in heaven, came before God on our behalf, and what is yet to be? He has yet to come out of that temple back to us and announce His blessing and take us to be with Him. That hasn't happened yet. But look at what it says in verse 28. The Messiah, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time. He's coming out of that temple, not to bear sin this time, like He did the last time, but to bring salvation for those waiting for Him. He still is yet to come. Are you looking forward to it? Is it something to look forward to? You see, how do I know He's coming back? I'll tell you. Because He left a sign. In 1 Corinthians 11:26, it says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are providing a sign. You are posting my sign until He comes. Guys, come on up. Let's do the sign. Let's look at the sign. This is not the table of this church. It's not the table of Baptists. It is the table of the Lord. And if you have come to Christ as Savior and have followed Him in believer's baptism, you are welcome at this table. We want you here. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, presented a sign. He took bread and He blessed it with the traditional Hebrew blessing, and He broke it And he said, take and eat. This is a sign. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Jesus said, take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he took a cup. And after he had pronounced the traditional Hebrew blessing, he said, take and drink. I'm giving this a new meaning. This is my blood of the new covenant I am making with you. Do this in remembrance of me. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who gives to us the fruit of the vine. Blood to shed for you.